With a massive blast wave, Arnie dies behind a log and is miraculously unscathed. So battered and bruised, Arnie survived the ordeal.
Does nobody give Schwarzenegger a raw deal?
That's a great thing.
I am extraordinarily busy, sir. I just wanted to ask about the chocolate. The lifetime supply of chocolate for Charlie. When does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
You're a crook. You're a cheat and a swindler. That's what you are. How can you do a thing like this? Build up a little boy's hopes and then smash all his dreams to pieces. You're an inhuman monster!
I said good day!
Question. How the hell are we going to find these Reapers?
We won't have to. They'll come to us.
What is this shit?
Pheromones. Harvested from the Reaper's adrenal glands. They're going to key to it.
They want us to spray on some suck puppies' nut juice.
Episode 147. Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. Sorry for the late start. Doing a lot of stuff at the last minute, but hey, we're here now and we love you. So sorry for delaying everything. I just want to apologize.
You're an inhuman monster.
Well, hey, come on. Sorry, I'm not inhuman. Welcome to the show. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the Pop Culture District. You are welcome to stay here as long as you want and enjoy the show. With me, the show is also done. God, totally missed
that. Wow.
How about, okay, I don't do the show.
Start tonight.
Oh, wait, stop. I don't do the show alone. I do it with two other people. No, screw that. Hey, we have Steven here. Steven to my left. Steven the Pop Culture Zone.
Good evening, everyone.
Do you guys want to just go home now?
Start the show over. Just put the...
Hey, it's Steven. How you doing, Steven? Welcome to the show.
Hello.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Hi.
How you doing, Bill? Is everything going great?
Yes, it's tremendous.
It's fantastic. I would like to thank everyone for sitting through the longest intro known to man. And we're here and we're ready to talk film, television, and pop culture. Thank you very much. Okay, well, all that said, guys, I want to say this. Here, brief commercial, if you guys will. The NIMH holiday package has been released, and so far we've got a good turnout.
So Jason has taken out his package.
No, it's not my package, just so everyone knows
that.
Just
holiday package.
See, last week Bill said it was his package. It's not my package either. It's a Mulberry package of shows, just so people know. Like, I'm... But here's what it is. It's, you know, I talked about it last week where it's multiple shows. We have a 24 Redemption show. We have the Lunchtime Show, the Lost Episode. And
which, if I say so myself, the 24 Redemption show is hilarious.
Yeah, I hope people get a kick out of it. And also we have Nora Mulberry Celebrates Film Music, The Score, with my dad and Andy, formerly of the Hollywood Saloon, apparently. Now, I noticed this week on the forums that the Hollywood Saloon has closed up shop, but they're not closing up the forum, which is good, and I just want to say, Andy, we're there for you. You're a buddy. Whatever you want to do, we'll help you out.
Like a family member died.
Well, it did, kind of. The Saloon is this entity, and I'll miss it. And I just want to say this, that Andy, you helped us with our NIMH holiday package. You helped me with my package, and I just want to say, no, hey, no jokes like that, all right? And I'm being serious. No, you know, you helped us with our shows, Andy, and anything you want help with, we'll do it, all right? So,
I don't know about that.
Not anything, okay? But no, but...
To a certain extent.
All that said is, if you'd like to check out the... holiday package.
If you would please check out the holiday package.
Yeah, go to NoraMulberry.com. You'll find that little donation button on the right. Donate $10 or more, and you get access to the holiday package. You'll be emailed the package, basically, and what it contains is those three shows, 24, Lunchtime Show, Film Score Show. You also get another podcast, which is basically the audio from our Left 4 Dead vidcasts. Now, you get three vidcasts, Bill, video podcast, if you will, where you can watch us playing Left 4 Dead and talking. It's Andy, Bill, and I, and a silent partner, Buggin' Who, there.
The Buggin' Who.
But also, if, say, you get motion sickness or something, you just can't watch it, there's also an audio version where it's like a book on tape, basically. But you get access to all that, and do it now.
I got to see some of that action, and it was pretty funny watching it. Bill blasting everybody and apologizing.
Yeah, that was my point of view.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
Get to see my elite skills.
And so far, we've had a number of people get the holiday package, and I can't wait to hear what they think of the shows. And if there's any kind of problems downloading anything, like I saw Mazer. Bill?
No, his M-Daddy-O was having trouble with the vidcast.
Yeah, we'll try to work that out with him.
I even sent him my private link to the... you know, the ones that Andy downloaded the stuff for to host them, and he was having trouble with that. So I'm thinking it's maybe a computer problem on his end. So
maybe he could just, like, not watch it on his computer, drop it into, like, his iPod or something. Oh, well, I'm assuming he has one. I don't have a
video iPod.
He's
having a problem downloading them at all, so.
Oh, okay. Maybe we could put them on some kind of player just for to watch on a...
Please, everyone, open your hearts and your wallets. Throw $10 out to us. This is tough Christmas for everybody with the recession and everything, but you know, we've been doing the show for 3 years and we could use your help.
It's not like we're just saying give us a handout. We're exchanging something we love. This present to you, I fully endorse it. I'm proud of it, honestly.
I really am too. I thought we had a great time doing the 24 show, and I think it's very funny. The Lunchtime Show is really – it really gets deep into how it started, where we came from, where we are now. And the music show, I can't recommend enough, especially for fans of the now-defunct Hollywood Saloon. Jason, you're the James Lipton of it, and you keep it on track. And Andy and your father, Terry, are just ripping it up with great references to film scores and composers. And you inserted music that they were talking about. And I've listened to it probably a handful of times, and each time I listen to it, I want to watch the movies that they talk about even more. It's really great. And we had such a fun time doing the vidcast for the Left 4 Dead. And we talk about our favorite zombie movies. And it's fun to see us basically get the shit beat out of us.
Yeah, we're not doing well at the game at all. We're getting massacred, slaughtered, basically, which is hilarious.
I definitely think it's worth $10. I think people will have a blast watching those and really love the shows. And I hope the Hollywood Saloon fans aren't disenfranchised now with it being defunct, and will give us a chance with the Film Score Show, because I think it's something that, I don't know, did Andy and John ever do a Film Score Show?
No, they didn't really.
I really think, I think this is a very good replacement, and it's like I was talking to you about it. I think it would be great if we could maybe get your dad to do one every month where he highlights a composer or a film.
Yeah, that would be cool. I'd see if he was up to that. I'm sure he would be. He doesn't mind talking. I mean, that's his favorite subject, so he should have no problem doing
he
it.
He should. It should be very – there's a deep well there that he can
But I was just kind of – with the editing and the music and everything, I thought of just putting music behind as we were talking about it and stuff, or as my dad was talking about. But then I was like, no, man, this needs to – it needs to be put forward, you know? And
that's the best thing is, like, it's underneath there a little bit whenever they start talking about it. But then you take the time to stop and then play a good bit of the music, and you really get a feel for what they're talking about and the examples of their – whenever, like, you guys will start with the, you know, that part, that dun-dun-dun-dun, and then you play the music, and it's like, oh, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah, when I started it, I didn't realize how intricate it would be. I spent probably 8 hours a day, 3 days in a row on that, and by the time I was done, it felt like I was just like, I can't think anymore. My brain doesn't work anymore.
Gave birth to a composer.
I kind of looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, Andy, this is what he goes through with the saloon? Oh, my God.
No wonder he got so burnt out at
one point.
There's no
way. Look at all the shows the saloon did. There's no way I could have done that with those shows. Like, that intricate.
Andy is a one-of-a-kind guy for that stuff.
Andy's insane, let's face it. But anyway, just kidding,
Andy. I mean, in a good way, of the Hollywood Saloon and the quality of their shows, it really all comes down to Andy. Andy is the heart of the Hollywood Saloon, and I think
with him moving on
to something new, I think will be a great thing for people, and I think he'll be reignited in what he's doing and who he is, and I think it's a good thing, actually, that the Saloon is...
I just, you know, you've got to enjoy what you're doing, and hopefully he does this next venture. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I am. I really am. I've been talking to him, and I'm really excited about what he's thinking about doing.
I want to do more projects with Andy, and I don't mind doing serious stuff, either. You know, like the Film Score show, I realized that it was just like a more serious show. But I hope that people enjoy the holiday package, and you donate, you get it. It's that kind of thing where hopefully people feel rewarded for that kind of thing. And I mean, unfortunately, you know, it's for donation only. So if you don't feel like paying,
you get nothing. You lose.
So sorry about that.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
Okay. Thanks, Willie. So on that note, I just wanted to mention one thing. Is did you guys notice that OJ is finally going to prison?
Incarcerated, yes.
God, it's been so long.
And I just saw this little snippet of this reporter talking on the news, and they have OJ talking in the courtroom. You know, people, they plead their case to the judge, and do you have anything to say? And OJ stands up. And he pleads stupidity, basically. And I was just like, no way you expect people to buy this. He basically said, I didn't know this was illegal.
He's such an arrogant fool.
But I can't believe that was his defense. That's like,
I didn't know sticking a gun in somebody's face to get my own stuff back was illegal.
Yeah, he said it was my property, so I was just going to take it back, and I was dealing with...
No, it wasn't your property. It's Fred Goldman's property, you murdering bastard.
So let's go ahead and play this clip, and I'm glad he's going to jail, because this is so stupid anyway. You know, it's just like, and even the lady said, no, this is beyond just pleading stupid. No.
In handcuffs and shackled, O.J. Simpson stood in the Las Vegas courtroom to make a final plea for leniency before being sentenced.
I am sorry. I didn't mean to steal anything from anybody, and I didn't know I was doing anything illegal.
Jurors saw security camera video of Simpson and five others carrying boxes through a Las Vegas hotel. Items taken from a sports memorabilia dealer at gunpoint in a confrontation captured on audio tape.
Now you can steal my and sell it. Don't let nobody out of here.
I thought I was confronting friends and retrieving my property.
Confronting friends.
Hey, buddy.
No, but no, Judge Jackie,
how you doing, man? You stole my shit, mother.
Just been stupid.
I have to tell you now, it was much more than stupidity.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I come over here to get my DVDs back at gunpoint from Jason.
Hey, you're just my buddy. I'm not stealing.
You stole my Anchorman DVD.
And didn't he have multiple? No, Steven, you gave that to me.
I gave that to Jason at gunpoint. I bet you take it.
No,
take it.
But the thing is, didn't he have like multiple guys with him with guns?
Yeah.
I can't believe that was his defense. Well, no wonder he's going to jail. That's not much of a defense. But I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and then the time they gave him was perfect.
Yeah, and he's in his 60s, so it's pretty much a life sentence, I would think.
Is he in his 60s now?
Yeah. He's going to die in prison unless something else happens. But...
Well, you know what? He deserves it.
Yeah, I think that...
I think the best thing I've ever seen on television... is he was doing an interview with that Inside Edition, and he's walking around with that Deborah Norville on a like Venice Beach, and this lady comes up to him and goes, "Can I shake your hand?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, sure, totally. How are you?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm great. I've just never shaken the hand of a murderer before."
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And it was just like, zing. I loved it. That was the best thing.
You're a cheat and a swindler. You're a crook. You're an inhuman monster.
Yeah, there you go.
There.
Grandpa just has to get worked up, and you know he builds up to the inhuman monster.
Well, he spent so much time in bed with the other three that
because he has to do a dance in order to get the blood back in his legs so he can walk again.
Yeah,
So, all right, guys, we have no voicemail this week. Hopefully we will. Well, you know, actually, I was talking to my wife, and next week we're going out of town. Then the following week, isn't that Christmas? And then New Year's. Yeah. This might be our last show for like 3 weeks, I'm thinking.
I think it is. I think because I'm also going to be going out of town next weekend, going to go back to Pittsburgh and visit some family against my will.
So this is what I'm thinking. Okay, this will be our last show for 3 weeks. Hey, holiday package. You got plenty of shows there to keep you busy. Think of that, people, as you're listening to this show. And let's check out Entertainment. Hey, did you guys see that Day the Earth Stood Still came out? With Keanu.
Whoa.
I'm an alien.
I can emote like an alien.
The main thing I've read about this, I try to read a couple of reviews to get a gist of it. Good reviews and bad reviews. And I haven't really seen any good reviews. I've just seen people say, it's okay, but... And the main thing I read about is it's boring as hell. It's like... long.
Well, you know what also is bad is it has such a great cast.
Yeah.
The guy from... I'm blanking on names. I'm not feeling good tonight, so my mind's
I know who you're talking about. The guy from Mad Men.
Yeah, it's also got Coach from Friday Night
Craig
Lights in it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Craig T. Nelson.
You said Coach, and I was just like...
yeah, Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, you know what? When I think good cast, I think...
Taylor. And
you said Coach.
Dauber.
Dauber.
But it's also got Jennifer Connelly in it.
Jerry Van Dyke.
Jennifer Connelly, she was so hot. Had some meat on her bones.
Oh, God, what happened to her?
She was bone skinny.
And she obviously has had her breasts reduced.
What happened to her? Come on. Career Opportunities was just like the highlight of
her career. I watched that movie over and over again. That was, oh my gosh.
Wow. If you could just like put her in a stasis tube in that movie and just keep her that way forever, it'd be perfect.
Just have her riding on that.
Oh, yeah. I would like to see this. If they could just take her now in this movie and CGI the way she looked in Career Opportunities, I would go see Day the Earth Stood Still.
God, she was curvy.
That's how hot she was in that. But apparently the movie blows, and I don't care about like CGI things, disintegrating crap. You know, you see in the trailer.
I'm reading interviews with the director, and he got too complicated. Like, everything is so damn complicated and scientifically stupid that it weighs down the entire movie. Like, Gort is made up of hundreds of nanotechnology bugs or something. He's not a robot. He's a some sort of like friggin' Voltron.
He's some kind of
it's ridiculous.
You're an inhuman monster.
Well, yeah, I guess Gort is an inhuman monster. Grandpa's he's always not, just yelling.
He's
at people.
Not a monster, but he is inhuman.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
Hey, no, he's a protector.
We don't want to debate this, okay, Willie?
I do love the original, though. It's such a great movie.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, they do every year, you do like you have all the award show. The Golden Globes now have just been announced, and then they're going to do the Oscars. When they announced the Golden Globes, I can't even remember what all the movies were, but I haven't seen a single one. I have not seen any like of the good movies this year yet.
The screeners are starting to hit online, you know, the illegal screeners. I downloaded Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino today.
Ooh.
And that doesn't even come out till January, so I'm really excited about sitting down and watching
that. You can't watch that. That's illegal, Bill.
Oh. I went to see JCPD this week and absolutely loved it and downloaded it.
That's the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, right?
Yeah, I loved it. It's not a great movie by any standards, but there is something about this movie that's got so much style and heart in it that you can't help but love it. You can't help but love the way it's shot, the way it's presented. The music in it is terrific.
Nice.
It's just one of those movies that I think I'll probably love for the rest of my life. It's just one of those movies that just affected me as I watched
it. It's called JCVD, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I really want to see it. And you know what? I haven't had time to see it yet because that damn film score show, but I'm going to have some free time next week, damn it. I need a break for 3 weeks. But on that note, guys, let's go ahead and check out what's on our TiVos, okay? Let's do it. I just want to apologize for my fake laugh, because don't you hate fake laughter?
Yes.
You're an inhuman monster!
All right, you're taking it to an extreme, Grandpa. Good Lord, all I did was... yeah, you're right, it is pretty bad. Now, this week I saw Carrie Fisher, who looks ghastly, by the way.
Oh, my God, that poor woman.
On the Today Show. And, you know, she was talking to the hunky, sexy Matt Lauer, which he always looks good, let's face it. I mean, he looks like he works out, you know, don't you think, Steven?
Yes,
he's balding, atrocious Matt Lauer.
Yeah, he's got that kind of salt and pepper hair going on.
Matt Lauer for HBO Newsbreak.
Let's go ahead and check this interview out where Carrie Fisher basically is talking about how she wishes in a way that Star Wars never happened or she was never Princess Leia. Like it
matters to anyone at this point.
Yeah. If she was like maybe hot like she was back then, you know, when I had a crush on her in Return of the Jedi, but no, not anymore.
If she held it together like Jamie Lee Curtis kind of did for
a while.
Jamie Lee Curtis hit the wall hard.
I said for a while.
It's like, when you get old, it's okay if you hit the wall. But it's almost like the Haitian in Heroes this week when he's like, Peter, I can't hold. It's like, you hold on to your good looking.
What's funny about Jamie Lee Curtis is that she's like into this whole growing old gracefully thing, but it's so far from graceful. It's like hitting someone over the head with a
sledge. As long as she doesn't fall down the stairs or something.
Yeah, she's letting her hair go completely gray. I mean, she's not even trying there. She's not trying with makeup. She does those goddamn Activia commercials where she talks about how yogurt keeps her regular so she can poop. You know, it's just like, honey, you're giving a little much away here. Graceful is not your strong suit.
You mean graceful would be just to not talk about it, pretty much?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Graceful would be just doing it and not talking about it.
I guess she's talking about all the plastic surgery stuff. She doesn't
do this. Yogurt's terrific. It helps me poop.
Well, let's check out what Carrie Fisher has to say.
Let's remind people that your mom and dad were the Angelina and Brad of their...
They were Jennifer Aniston and Brad, and Elizabeth Taylor
exactly.
was Angelina.
That's right. She became the Angelina.
That's
They were wildly famous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And so, when you were a young girl, did you want to follow in their footsteps?
Never!
Did you want a taste of that?
I saw the heartbreak of celebrity and went, get me away from that.
And yet at 19, you go after and you get the role of Princess Leia in the Star Wars films. Did you have any idea how much fame that was going to bring you?
No, I would never have done it. Never. And all I did when I was really famous, which was... long ago, was wait for it to end. Because I knew that was coming up.
So you're married to a Hollywood agent named Brian Lord, who left you for another man.
He did? You're kidding.
That's what I read, yeah.
Oh, my God, that must have been really upsetting.
He left you for another man, and you called your mom.
Yeah.
And she said what to you?
She said, we have all sorts of men in our family. We've had horse thieves and one-man bands, but this is our first homosexual!
You know, I remember hearing that... she kind of helped George with the Phantom Menace script. Now I know why it turned out so crappy, because she hates Star Wars anyway, so why would she have tried very hard on the script? I don't know. But it seems like you would have to have some passion for what you're doing.
Was she the one that wrote that Postcards from the Edge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can actually watch that movie. I think it's kind of funny. I should have kept that to myself.
Every time Carrie Fisher's on something, they should just have her go, okay, just say the line, Governor Tarkin, I should have expected you, fighting you holding Vader's leash. Recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Nice.
Should say that in everything.
You're right.
That should be her starting line.
Because we don't really care about anything else she has to say.
No.
Now, this week, Shatner...
And she shouldn't wear a bra.
Shatner was on Regis Let's listen to this. I have no idea what's going on in this interview. It just hurts my brain. So I decided to inflict some pain on you guys. Let's check it out.
Do you believe in sin?
Right. But I don't say, do you believe in sin?
What do you say?
We evolve into that in the conversation. I start off with anything, with the trees that that are growing. What
you go from the trees to sin.
But it's an evolution. And it's the way you get there. It's the journey as well as the subject.
You must think you're pretty hot stuff.
What's more important
like
is that...
Like you discovered the art of conversation.
Well...
It's an evolution.
My great-grandfather
would
have loved this.
In this show at the same time.
I feel like...
Here's what I'd like
to do. I'd like to get you on Raw and Earth.
And here's where I'd like to get you.
I've invited you, you know that.
And here's where I'd like to get you.
You hear me?
Yes, I heard you.
Tonight, wait a minute,
to say goodbye to you. Right now.
Yes.
I want to take you up to my patio.
Let's
we
do
just
it.
Spend a minute up there what? Together, and then I kiss you.
You got a cigar?
Off. They're all up
what do you
there.
Mean you kiss me off. You kiss me.
I think it was to throw him off the.
Oh, my God. There are two men that we should just nuke.
Well, he was talking about Raw Nerve. Shatner has this new show called Raw Nerve on the Biography Channel. And here, I'm segueing into this. He interviews, who does he choose as his first Raw Nerve interview? But Jenna Jameson, who, I don't want the show to be about train wrecks. And it's turning into that somehow. Jennifer Connelly, Carrie Fisher.
Maybe
Jamie
he should
Curtis.
Just write another tech
this is a train wreck episode.
But let's go ahead and check out her Jenna Jameson interview. It's hard hitting. It hits a raw nerve, Steven.
Kind of like Jenna Jameson hitting the wall hard.
My God, you know, you changed my life.
Right.
You saved
changed
my marriage.
Changed your life in that they made them. You made them realize their sexuality.
And just accept all those feelings. We all have them. We all have inner porn stars. 100%. It's always there.
Okay, tell me what that means.
There
the
are,
inner porn star, what does that mean?
We're all sexual
what does
beings.
That mean?
Right.
We
that,
all
that I
have
understand.
those weird little...
What is your favorite
quick
color?
Fetishes that happen inside us.
But is there an element of exhibitionism there?
100%. We all want to do it. We just have that.
How did
that
William Shatner get a show interviewing
says,
people,
no,
Stephen?
No. Not allowed
on
to
on the
do
biography
that.
Who
channel.
Says that?
Society.
Who says that? I say sabotage.
Yes. Like, I was just, I.
You say
I
sabotage. I say sabotage.
I loved, like, experimenting with everything. Like, I had girlfriends. I had boyfriends, and like for a little while in my life, I was a lesbian.
Wow, that's hard-hitting stuff there.
And I had a donkey out back.
Now, you guys remember that Tila Tequila quit her show. Yeah, she decided to move on in life and not have a show where people tried to become her significant other, and then she
so
never...
Now it's going
to
be a shot at fame with Tila Tequila?
She would never talk to them after the finale, so it didn't mean anything. So this year, they decided to get some blonde who I've never heard of. But the show's called Double Shot at Love. I wonder what that double shot means. What could that mean? I don't know. The contestants...
Double barrel shotgun?
I don't know. Let's go ahead and check this out. Let's see what double shot means.
I know that relationships are built on honesty, but the hard truth is that I've been keeping a secret. Triple nipple. And I think it's time to share it with all of you.
Please don't have it. Please don't have it. Please don't have it.
I was born with another part.
Whoa.
I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
And you know, twice in a lifetime, that would be too much. I'm not a man, guys.
Close one.
She's a hermaphrodite.
Twins!
She's got a hot twin sister.
That's not real.
What do you think of this CGI dipshit? That ain't real. It's a blue screen. Shit.
It's the Daniel twins.
I love that guy, man.
Brittany and her chubby sister, who I can't remember the name of.
What is that cool power down sound? I love it. It is kind of like that.
They pulled that up a Kanye West song.
But I love that because she's hot. She's standing there in a bikini, and she says, I have another part to me. And it's like... It's just like instant, like all the guys are like not interested anymore.
I hope she don't have a...
That was awesome.
Think that would be the best thing they could do is find a hot hermaphrodite.
All right, well, let's talk about...
Rabbit!
On that...
She's a magician!
She pulls a rabbit out of her pants!
I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
Again?
Oh, God, how'd she get that rabbit in her pants?
Damn it, she's a magician! Shit! That's right, guys, I'm an illusionist!
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my vagina.
She's one of them damn medalists!
You're a cheat and a swindler.
Oh, don't start that, Grandpa.
You're an inhuman monster.
Okay, Grandpa. Top Chef, let's see. What was it this week, Bill?
All right, the quickfire challenge was the taste challenge, where they put two people up against...
Oh, that's my favorite. They do the palate test.
But it was like, name that tune. I can name that in five notes.
Right, right.
I can name that in seven notes. Name that note.
They group them up, and what they do is they each take turns taking a bite of something. Then you say, I think I can name five of the ingredients in this. And the other person says, I can name six. And you know what's funny? The guy who actually got kicked off this week, didn't he say, the first person say, I can name four things? And he said, okay, go ahead. Didn't even challenge.
Didn't even try.
But
name one thing. Really? Go for it.
Hosea and the guy from Finland. What's his name?
Stefan.
They had incredible palates, didn't they?
Yeah.
Stefan
was nailing stuff.
He said he could
name like seven things. It was crazy.
Yeah, he was so cocky. He was just like naming things, and he didn't even look like he had to stop and think about it. And it wasn't until the last thing. What was that weird? It was like a Mexican
mole. It's a chocolate, like a spicy chocolate sauce.
Right, and he said tomato paste or something.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know why he guessed that, but
I think because there's kind of a tomato taste to mole. Yeah. But not specifically tomato paste.
I noticed no one said salt, and salt's in everything. I would have said salt.
Well, everybody was picking, like, at first it was like oil. What kind of oil?
Yeah.
You know, salt, pepper. It was like...
Yeah, that Stefan, he would say salt and pepper with everything, and he was always right. And
yeah.
I was surprised he didn't say salt on the last one. Instead, he took a guess, and he didn't win. But I always love the palate tasting thing. I always think that's kind of neat. But then
it shows how truly qualified they are. If they can, you know, put something in their mouth and distinguish certain spices or ingredients, that I think that shows how good of a chef they can or could be.
And then they did a wedding shower thing. I guess they couldn't do a wedding.
It was for Gail Gand, right?
Yeah, they couldn't do a wedding because they did that last year, so they had to do
a wedding shower.
Yeah, and...
They
each had to do, you know, they always do that stupid thing, something borrowed, something blue, or something like that. But what is that weird experimental sushi thing they did?
Oh, the Filipino guy came up with an idea where they were going to do a sushi roll. But then he decided, let's do a deconstructed sushi roll.
Did you like how he said it? Like he had this moment, this epiphany. I know what we'll do. Like it was a great idea. It was a horrible idea.
Yeah, and of course, Stefan's sitting there going, women don't want to make food whenever they're sitting down to eat. You don't do that. And he's like, no, I know what I'm doing. We're gonna put everything there, and then they can make it themselves. And whenever the time came for them to deliver the food, he didn't even say what to do. It was just seaweed sitting on the plate and...
Everyone was holding that weird wafer chip thing. They were like, what the hell do I do with this thing? You know?
Yeah, and then the Carla, the Orlando Jones-looking black woman. I swear, every time she's on in those eyes, I think they're going to pop out of her
head. Yeah, she always has this look like she's been surprised.
it literally looks like someone just grabbed her ass.
Yeah, woo! What was the weird thing when she was in the store? She thought she heard her husband or something. She goes, we have this call we give each other, and she kept hearing it. I can't remember what it was.
No, what she was doing was she said they have a call in the store whenever they get lost. It's kind of like Marco Polo kind of thing.
Right.
And she was trying to get her two teammates to do it, and they were just too obsessed with what they were doing to even bother
so
with.
She was doing the call, and she wasn't hearing anything back.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. So, Top Chef, let's go ahead and see what happened at the end here.
You're an inhuman monster!
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's go ahead.
How funny is that?
It's cute.
Stefan is probably the cockiest person in this entire competition. But at the same time, like, he's always making me presents. And he has a huge crush on me. It's pretty funny.
I think she's sexy.
And she is vile looking.
First of all, let's say that she has, like, it looks like she has a t-shirt on with fake tattoos, but those aren't fake.
This Etheridge's worst nightmare.
She's got the sleeve tats, and they look ridiculous. And if you, I know she can make awesome soup and that kind of stuff, awesome cream of something. She's just incredible at it, and that's what she keeps doing. Cream of some young guy, but just wait until she has to make something else. But she's really cocky, isn't she?
Yeah, and she's just, I mean, she's just so sloppy looking.
And she's talking about how Stefan, I did love her shirt, though, by the way, but she keeps talking about how Stefan has a huge crush on her. And she's a Lesbadasian. But she had like a hamburger and french fries t-shirt. Did you guys notice that?
I did like that.
I was like, I want that shirt.
Does the word lesbian mean anything to you?
Hi, guys. Thank you guys for cooking for my bridal shower tomorrow evening.
You're welcome.
Cooking for Gail's bridal shower will prepare me for my future wife.
He's always high.
Beautiful women for coming together.
Meticulous
to say
facial hair
with me
guy.
How much we love
scary,
you, Gail.
Scary.
And how lucky Jeremy is.
I love that one bass riff.
It's too much vinegar, Danny. I'll stop.
This is a freaking train wreck.
I began cutting shiitake mushroom for Carla's microgreen salad. Carla actually had no idea I was doing it.
They can build their own sushi roll. It was awesome.
And there's no explanation.
What do we do with
that?
This is not a good start to a new life.
Carla, why were there mushrooms on the bottom of your salad?
That was me.
Did anybody taste those mushrooms?
I did.
Put them on a plate. You did.
I thought they were seasoned perfectly.
Okay.
Daniel, please patronize and go.
Yeah.
And then he's out of there. Well, I think
I
think it's funny when somebody, it's obvious they hated it, but he's like, I thought it was good. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
it's like,
he just won't back down. And that's the sign of a bad chef. Pride like that is.
Yeah, just.
I like that when he was putting the mushrooms on, she's like, I look over and he's putting mushrooms underneath my salad.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
She made a salad, a frise salad in a little wonton, and she obviously had the flavor profile down, and yet he decides, hey, why not throw some mushrooms under there? Like, what the hell are you thinking?
Like he's throwing together dinner from leftovers or something.
Exactly. You nailed it.
And the chick really should have just, you know, called him on it, but she didn't. But I don't know.
A pushover.
There's something very watchable about the show. I don't know if it's just people preparing food or what.
Yeah.
But
I like seeing the science of it, the drama of it. It's just a good show.
I still think that Stefan is in the running. I mean, you could tell this was kind of a bash on Stefan episode where everyone's just like, God, he's so arrogant and all this. But seriously, then beat him then quality-wise, you know, if you don't like him. But
he was the one who did the Chilean sea bass one, right?
The Chilean sea bass? No, that was Fabio.
Fabio.
And I liked his BS he laid out on those. You know, yellow and green makes blue.
And they were like, oh.
Because they're doing blue, so let's do a fish, a deep sea fish. So they use sea bass, Chilean sea bass, which is an over-farmed fish.
Right.
So it's not, it's like Calicchio said, not exactly a politically correct choice. He chooses that, and then he cover it in blue corn flour. So it's like, oh, it's blue fish. Get it?
Yeah.
And then they do a corn and some sort of green sauce. So green and yellow make blue in the color spectrum.
But I love how he said that.
And all the women, they all thought it was real clever. And
they're
like,
oh, yellow and green make blue. Ooh. And he's like, you all look very beautiful today. But Bill, let's go ahead and take a break. It's top of the hour, and we'll be right back and talk about Heroes.
Oh, no.
And then Dexter, and then we'll go right into the news. What do you say?
Okay.
FNL?
Yep, let's do it.
Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
What kind of camel kid are you? Here we go on the run. Busy having some fun. Spin and twirl, do the
like it?
But Daddy loves Old Spice.
I love the smell of my daddy.
You put the ribbon on.
This Christmas, people all over America are giving the men in their lives the classic scent of Old Spice. The clean, fresh, masculine scent so many women love.
I love the smell of Daddy.
And so does Mommy.
Give him the gift he'll love, Old Spice. And if he likes the scent of leather, give him the newest Old Spice scent, Old Spice Leather.
To your wondering eyes now appear only at Burger King. It's cuddly reindeer. There's Rodney, Ramona, Rhonda, and Randy. At $1.99 each, the price is just dandy. Buy a $5 book of gift certificates here and pay just $1.99 for your reindeer. Collect all four at a Burger King sign. Get your reindeer right now and the best food for fast times.
And wash.
Now you can pose Cabbage Patch Kids in lots of different ways.
Pose them like this, pose them like that. Hug your Cabbage Patch Kids and they'll hug you right back.
And they're each different as can be.
Cabbage Patch Kids, hold that pose. Your kind of love.
Xavier Roberts Cabbage Patch Kids, each sold separately with birth certificate.
Dashing for the plane, trying to make the flight.
Come on!
Mom and Dad just made
Kevin!
A tiny oversight. As they hurry home, robbers plan a heist. Home alone, home alone, to trick them every way. All the fun it is to see two burglars get bonked. Home alone.
From John Hughes, directed by Chris Columbus, rated PG.
It's fun! It's happy fun ball!
Yes, it's Happy Fun Ball, the toy sensation that's sweeping the nation. Only $14.95 at participating stores. Get one today.
Warning. Pregnant women, the elderly, and children under 10 should avoid prolonged exposure to Happy Fun Ball. Caution! Happy Fun Ball may suddenly accelerate to dangerous speeds. Happy Fun Ball contains a liquid core, which, if exposed due to rupture, should not be touched, inhaled, or looked at. Do not use Happy Fun Ball on concrete. Discontinue use of Happy Fun Ball if any of the following occurs: itching, vertigo, dizziness, tingling in extremities, loss of balance or coordination, slurred speech, temporary blindness, profuse sweating, or heart palpitations. If Happy Fun Ball begins to smoke, get away immediately, seek shelter, and cover head. Happy Fun Ball may stick to certain types of skin. When not in use, Happy Fun Ball should be returned to its special container and kept under refrigeration. Failure to do so relieves the makers of Happy Fun Ball, Wacky Products Incorporated, and its parent company, Global Chemical Unlimited, of any and all liability. Ingredients of Happy Fun Ball include an unknown glowing substance which fell to Earth, presumably from outer space. Happy Fun Ball has been shipped to our troops in Saudi Arabia and is also being dropped by our warplanes on Iraq. Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball. Happy Fun Ball comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Happy Fun Ball. Accept no substitutes.
Christmas. Merry Christmas. What'd I get her?
I've got it.
Oh, Bob, Isotoner gloves. They feel so great.
Merry Christmas, Mom. You'll never guess what I got you. Isotoner gloves.
Isotoner gloves. Always the perfect fit. Always the perfect gift.
Wake up, toys, or you're gonna miss Christmas Eve with the Kodak Disc. Someone got the family a Kodak disc. Just look at all the shots they're not gonna miss. There's never been a time that's better than this to give someone the Kodak disc.
Nothing's easier to use than the Kodak disc camera. It loads in a snap and knows just when to flash. No wonder it's such a great Christmas gift. Christmas gift.
So when you go out and shop, just remember to stop.
Want to win big bucks right at home? Well, don't just sit there. Run out and get the most advanced game system in the world. Me, Mr. Game Show. Lots of games you pick up so I can put you down. Mr. Game Show from Galoo.
In a distant land, Santa's elves are especially busy making you something special. A stuffed reindeer ornament just like the reindeer in the new motion picture Santa Claus the Movie.
Good likeness.
And it's free when you buy a $5 book of McDonald's gift certificates. So put plenty of both on your Christmas list. McDonald's gift certificates and free reindeer ornaments. Seeing is believing.
Presenting Ronald McDonald in No Snow.
To McDonald's we'll go.
I don't see any snow.
Ah, but don't start to frown.
What goes up must come down. It's the way to McDonald's we'll go.
It's a wonderful day. Do-do-do-do-do. Now that you're on your way. Hey! See the snow everywhere. Found the magic in the air.
We're going to McDonald's. Hooray!
Here comes Ronald.
Grimace.
Bye, guys.
Hamburglar.
Raffle, raffle.
Ooh. There's only one McDonald's.
Raffle.
For you and you and you. Who, me? What a great time up here.
Snow and sleigh rides are here. Winter fun once again.
Together with friends. McDonald's. A Ronald and you.
I'm gonna have me some fun.
You're a cheat and a swindler.
No, I'm not. Stop calling me that.
That now, predator rap is genius.
Yes, it is. Now, we also have here, Bill, we just took a break, but apparently someone has called us on the phone. Let's see who it is. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome to Nowhere in Mulberry.
Oh, I want to order the Nowhere in Mulberry holiday pack.
Okay. Let me get your credit card number.
Diners Club number 654.
Diners Club.
What? You don't take Diners Club? Okay, hold on.
No, but Telly Savalas does,
Diners
I
Club
think.
American Express 4.
Yes,
six,
we take that.
Yeah, we take that. Big time.
Uh-huh.
462.
Now just
three,
turn it around. Give me those three numbers on the back. Those are the good
numbers.
Yeah,
we need the four numbers above the first four numbers.
Yeah. 37.
Now, what's the month and expiration date? Or expiration year?
2011.
Wow.
Does the pack have a Vanessa episode?
Does it have what?
A Vanessa episode?
No, it doesn't.
I don't want it.
Okay. Bye.
You know what's sad is there's probably a lot of people that won't get it because it doesn't have a Vanessa episode.
There'll be one
good
person.
Day,
it's Eugene.
Sir. Now, when is this ruse going to end and you're just going to tell us who you are, sir? Hello? Okay. Well, okay. Let's talk about...
That was successful.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Heroes. Heroes is back on track, everybody. It was a great episode.
Is?
Yeah, wasn't it fantastic?
What bizarre world are you living in?
Yeah, it's got Hero and Claire, and they're in the past. And Hero, he gets to see his mom, who's now dead, and it was really sweet and tender. And she gives him a special gift that involves light, sticking it in him. The light. And Claire, she shows up. She sees herself as a baby, but she changed her own diaper, and the same molecules can't occupy the same space. We all learned from Time Cop, am I right? So weren't you guys a little worried about that?
I was worried about the implosion of the universe.
Yeah, she can't touch herself. Well, yes, she can if she wants, but no, I'm just saying that we all know from Time Cop, which is canon.
Yeah.
In the whole universe, Time Cop rules when it comes to time travel.
Well, wasn't it the same in Back to the Future, too, that it could cause a paradox?
Yeah.
Yeah, in theory, Doc Brown would say. And we also know if you ride on a time sled to the past, when you get to the past, the time sled's gone. Where did it go?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, actually, you fall.
Yeah, you fall like a time bandit. Man,
well, the time sled goes to the time sled inventory center.
Yeah. How many time sleds do they have in that place?
Well, the time sled...
No, they only have one. They just reuse it.
The time sled has to go through, and then it comes back to itself.
Oh, it's like on a track?
On a track.
A virtual,
and,
kind of like a theoretical
then,
track?
And, like, there's a drop floor in it when you...
And that's why you go, oh!
To 88 miles per hour.
You know what the best
ball.
Part in Time Cop is when he appears in the middle of the road in a truck and it's obvious like rear projection.
Yeah, that is
terrific. And he lays down on the ground so the truck could go past him. It's like, Wow. That's awesome effect. Good. So anyway, back on tracks. Heroes. Hey, Siler, he's a jerk.
Again.
Do you guys love when he goes to the office building and kills the lie detector lady?
Yeah.
How do they find the, you know, they always just find, they never explain it. There's always a pamphlet or a book of people with abilities and what the abilities are, and they know where and where they live and everything. And he's now got this special thing because he's got her, he's got Elle's book, I guess, her... her daily planner, and he's got
that
the address
Sue,
of...
Sue whatever her name was.
Yeah, he knows that she's a lie detector, so I'll go get her ability. Then I'll go and ask Arthur Petrelli if he's my dad, and then I'll know.
Elle saves all people with powers in her phone.
Yeah, it's good to keep that in there, you know.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to need to call them for something.
She's got one of those 8-gigabyte mini SD cards in there, too, so she can keep all of them in there. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So have you noticed, like, on the, like, whatever phone is sponsoring the show, everyone has that phone that week? Everyone always has a different phone, and it's whatever sponsoring Heroes that week. But,
and we learned during 24 Redemption that they have excellent reception for Sprint and Nextel phones.
Yes, you could call anyone from the bush in Africa with Sprint.
Awesome. They've got towers, cell towers all over the place.
Like zebras and shit running around the towers.
They disguise them as those big African trees.
It's like,
I think they attach cells actually to the necks of giraffes.
That would be awesome because they're so tall.
If you're moving with the giraffes, you'll never drop out.
Roaming. Yeah.
You got permanent roaming.
So on Heroes, do you like how they... my brain is going everywhere. It's like Matt Parkman.
You're trying to wrap your mind around the stupidity of Heroes.
I will say this. They've done this shot of Siler from the first season, and I guarantee it's been stolen from some movie somewhere, where he's out of focus and he steps into focus as he's going to kill somebody. I really like that. I like that effect that it causes.
They did that with, like, Friday the 13th.
They probably did it on Smallville a lot, but I like that out of focus and stepping into focus thing. That's just a cool effect. But did you like when the people will go, "Happy birthday!" and he's got blood all over him? It's funny.
And he pulls them all in and slams the door.
Yeah. And
you know what? If the show was actually good, I might like that.
And Peter, he goes with the Haitian to kill his dad.
When's Peter going to die?
This whole scene didn't make any sense to me because, let's just play it, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
So, you're here to kill me.
I'm here to stop you. Creating abilities like this, giving them out, they'll destroy the world.
In your opinion?
I've seen it. This ends now.
I don't think you have the nerve to kill me, Peter.
Strong. I cannot hold his powers back.
Listen to me, son. There's another way. The formula is ready. Nathan is here. I can give you your abilities back. We can start over.
No.
Peter!
Wait! Just... wait. Shoot it now!
That's your problem, son.
Okay, let me stop right here first, real quick. Okay, the Haitian... his power is, if he's in the room, you have no powers. This is insane idea. Run out of the room. Run out of the room. You have the power to teleport. Run out of the room. Yeah. What? The Haitian's going to follow you? He's all tired.
But
lock
also,
the door behind you.
I didn't know the Haitian had to concentrate to stop the power.
Yeah, they never did that before. He's just in the room and he doesn't have to think about it. He's just there.
Yeah, I thought he was like, you know, like he gave off like a radiation.
They just make it up as they go along in the show. But let's
They really do.
Let's listen for when Siler shows up. This is when the scene gets good. What?
Hello, Arthur.
Bullet's still spinning in the air.
You're here.
I am.
Wow, it's obvious.
No place I'd rather be.
How can that
be?
Barrett's driving.
Are you really my family?
Of course. I'm father.
Wrong!
Now I know the truth.
Are they filling time on the show or what? Come on, get with it.
I am.
Oh, nice bullet in the head sound.
I'm not gonna kill you. You don't have anything I need anymore.
was he holding Arthur still too with the bullet? Because I was wondering why he didn't like push his head out of the way of the bullet.
Okay, yeah. Now, even though Peter shot the gun that was aimed at his father's head,
Steven, try not to think too hard.
You're not a killer. He just let the bullet go. Well, guess what, Peter? You still shot the gun.
Okay, how about let's get back to the point that the Haitian's in the room.
The Haitian...
No one should be able to use their powers.
Correct.
Siler walks in, and I guess he's tired, so he can use his powers to stop the bullet. And
that's
he,
bullshit.
And then this. Peter goes, you go after Siler. And he's like, okay. And he runs, wait, I thought you were all tired and shit because he's too powerful.
It just makes no sense.
None of this show makes sense. And then they, what's funny is they're Nathan and what's her face, Nikki, whatever the hell her name is on the show, and Mohinder. They're injecting this marine with apparently the writers of the show just saw the HBO series. Wait, what was it called? I love Generation Kill. They just saw Generation Kill, so they like took some notes while they were watching that, and they're like, "Yeah, Shootout in Kirkuk. That's where this guy's from, and he had abilities, so he's volunteering." But I was trying to place the guy, the actor, that was the soldier that they injected. And I was like, "Where is he from?" And then it hit me: he's from the 4400, the show that Heroes rips off all their ideas from. So they're like, "Hey, let's get a guy from the 4400. Why not?" And so they inject him, and they're doing all that.
It comes full circle.
Did you like him vibrating in the chair?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the stuff. And I laugh every time they show Matt Parkman reading someone's mind. They do that camera thing where it's like...
Towards his eye.
And yeah, towards his eye, yeah. He tilts his head.
He turns his head left and turns to the right. And the camera's like shifting back and forth. And it's so funny. And the guy has super strength and whatever that means for next season. But the whole Claire visiting her family and, Noah. We know that
Noah... makeup have been any worse?
We know that Noah is a hardcore company man at that time, and he will kill anyone who gets in his way. I there's no way I believe that he would trust Claire, this girl he didn't even know. And
Claire Bear, huh?
Yeah, okay, let's do it. Let's have it your way. There's no way. He would have shot her, wouldn't he? He would have taken her somewhere. I don't know. But I'm just saying Heroes is a great show, and I can't wait to see it more. But, you know, one thing, the Pushing Daisies guy, Brian Fuller, he's now a full-time consultant on Heroes. Let's see how much...
He was talking about how after this next episode that ends the villain's arc, that he'll get it back on track.
Right. Fugitives is the next storyline. And I'm interested to see. I'm going to watch to see how much it does change. Because right now, there's no set of rules that they follow. They just make it up on the spot, whatever they do.
That's obvious at this point.
And seriously, if Arthur Petrelli was that strong... I'm not even going to go into it. Just never mind. Yeah. Okay, let's just stop. Okay, let's talk about Dexter, because we ignored Dexter for most of the season, and next week's the season finale, and we won't be around for that. And I'm just going to say I love this show, but I felt like an idiot watching the show, because last week Dexter was abducted and put into a trunk, and I was thinking, man, this is going to be a great opening. He's, the guy's going to kill him and all this stuff, and... It turns out that he was kidnapped to go to his bachelor party.
That crazy masuka.
I felt like I got kicked in the nuts. Like, oh, you damn writers. You know, that's a sign of good writing where they can fool you and you feel stupid. Yeah. I mean, I felt like an idiot. I was like, God, I'm stupid. I really thought that he was in major trouble or whatever. But Heroes has not done that to me where it makes me feel like a genius when I watch Heroes.
God, he does.
I feel like I've got a big brain. But Dexter is a great show, and Jimmy Smits, who's played Miguel Prado, he's done such a good job of starting out. Victor Cifuentes, he's a genius. He started out as this poor guy whose brother was killed, and you feel sorry for him. He's a DA.
That's why he started, yeah.
And you see that he's great to be a friend, yeah.
Yeah, he's supportive, he's nice, he's understanding, he's got a beautiful wife.
Yeah, he's got a great life, and he wants to be friends with Dexter, and Dexter accepts him finally. Finally, then Miguel kind of figures out that Dexter, he basically kills people who are bad. So he's like, I respect you. I understand what you do. I want to help you. So he helps him find bad guys that have somehow worked the system and stayed out of jail. And he's putting guys on a plate for Dexter to kill. Then he's like, show me how you do it. I want to kill one of these bastards. And he's like, it's a big step. I don't think you really need to do that. Just leave it to me. And he begs him and begs him. And finally he relents and he knows he's going to chicken out at the last minute. That's what he's waiting for. But he doesn't. And you could see something change in Miguel Prado. He just becomes really weird. And the next day, Dexter finds out that he never went home after that. He was just supposed to clean up and go home, and Dexter would take care of all the evidence. He went to this rival lawyer, like defense attorney, right?
Yeah, it was a public defender.
And she's causing hell for Miguel Prado, going back to all these previous cases with trumped up charges and
evidence. Well, we also find out that Miguel Prado is crooked.
Yeah, he's very corrupt. So he goes straight to her house and kills her and dumps her body somewhere. A place where Dexter said would be a perfect place to hide a body, by the way. And so there's this whole kind of cat and mouse game, as Siler would say, that they're playing, trying to outdo each other. And finally, he gets Miguel Prado because he's going to kill the police captain who's on to him. And Dexter...
LaGuardia?
Yeah. And Dexter... LaGuardia? Yeah, and Dexter can't have that. So he finally has him, and... Remember, the very first episode of the season, Dexter killed Miguel Prado's brother and lied about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, you know, the whole reason he came into a friendship with Miguel is he killed Freebo, who everyone thought killed Miguel Prado's brother. Wow, pretty complicated, huh? So
Freebo and Miguel Prado's brother were in a fight.
Yeah.
And
Dexter walked in on it.
Yeah.
And it really was self-defense.
Yeah, and what the hell was he doing there with the knife anyways?
Right, and I can't wait to find that out. And there's a creepy Skinner guy. What's going on with that? So let's check this out.
I accept you, Dexter, like a brother. I killed my brother. I killed yours, too. I didn't plan to, but it was kill or be killed.
You! You've killed us!
What did you say in your bachelor party speech? Friends are always honest. Friends forgive.
Friends forgive.
But I don't forgive you. And I don't get to have friends.
No, Victor Cifuentes.
What I want to know is why Dexter killed Miguel in the way he did. Normally, he just sinks the knife into it and severs the aorta. Whereas this time, he strangled him with a cord.
Yeah.
So what's he setting up Miguel's body to look like, or who's he going to set up for Miguel's body? I also thought he would skin Miguel first to try to put it on the Skinner, but...
Right, me too.
I'm wondering how they're setting up this last episode.
I know. I can't wait to see what happens. I'm really excited about this finale.
And I also love that the last episode isn't the episode where he kills Miguel. I love that they got that out of the way.
And it kind of ends and you're kind of like, huh? What's going to happen? That's what I love it. I can't predict this stuff, you know? And I can't wait to see what happens in that. And 3 weeks from now, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, and I think there's a new Dexter book coming out next year. So
really?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too.
I haven't read a single one. Maybe I'll read the first book now that, you know.
Yeah, Darkly Dreaming Dexter is good stuff. I read about half of it. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay, well, let's talk about Friday Night Lights before we go to the news, Bill. As always, good episode, right? And this was the episode I didn't want to watch, remember? Because what it was going to be about is the
sex
Coach Taylor catching them. Luckily, he didn't catch them in the act. He just caught them laying in the bed naked. And I actually thanked the show out loud that we didn't have to see him walk in on it. That we got the reaction from outside the house and just heard Julie kind of scream, "Dad, get out of here!" Thank God we didn't have to see their faces as he walked in. That's how into the show I get. I was like, I don't want to watch this scene. And I was going to actually turn away because it's so embarrassing, you know, walking in on them. And I love later when Matt's talking to Landry and he goes, "And what have we learned from this?" He goes, "Always lock the door." I love that. I love all the Landry stuff.
And Landry's genius.
His band Crucifictorious. And I love that speech he gives to Tyra, who's asking him to tutor her about the lending tree. Is that what it was? What was it called?
Yeah.
Was that what it was? Lending tree?
I think so, something.
The friend tree? I can't remember. It's like a kid's book where the kid keeps taking until finally there's nothing but a stump. And he goes, I'm that stump because all you do is take and take. I love that. And then she gets him a gig at the club and all that kind of stuff. And
she falls for him because he's so dreamy up there singing.
I have a criticism of Friday Night Lights, believe it or not. And it's of the character of Madison. Because usually I believe that a lot of the characters in here they're very realistic, but she seems like she's from a different show or something. Kind of fake kind of girl. Madison, the girl who's hitting on J.D. McCoy. Oh, yeah. She didn't seem real to me. She seemed very... Maybe she's just a bad actress. I don't know.
Well, what? Yeah, I think that's it because, I felt the same way about the storyline from last year with Smash and the white girl.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't feel right.
Maybe we're supposed to... she is phony, I guess. But it just...
Maybe.
She called attention to herself. But we can't forget about Buddy Garrity getting arrested at the strip club after beating...
the landings.
Beating the crap out of that guy. And
there's a place in... when I lived in Michigan, there was a strip club in Detroit called the Landing Strip.
Nice. Right
next to the airport. That's a real place down in Austin.
But I loved him knocking the lamps over, and you see and it's like $30,000 in damage. He's like, that place isn't even worth $30,000. Give me a break.
Seriously.
He's blown all of Lila's college money, $70,000. It sounds like he made poor decisions there. And the main key thing here that they're setting up for later is they were having one of these football games where the refs that are playing are known to be bad refs or whatever. And Coach Taylor gets thrown out of the game because he starts bitching at the guy, why don't you throw your damn flag out? I love that whole thing. But then you see the quarterback coach take over. Or he's filling in Mac McGill's place. And everyone's like... the announcer guy's like, what a great job for backup coach or whatever his name is. But don't you see what's going to happen there? That now Coach Taylor's job is going to be a little threatened,
Yep.
Because the game plan wasn't working until they put him in there, that kind of thing.
Well, it's like what Max said in the earlier episode, putting a wolf in the hen house.
Right.
A fox in the hen house.
I'm hoping he comes back, but... Another thing is the whole Julie and her mom thing and with Coach Taylor, there's that part where he's in the back scrubbing the barbecue. Yeah. And she goes, why don't you go talk to the coach out back? And it's just like, I wouldn't have gone out there.
Well, you have to, but you got to be afraid to.
What is that Julie says? He goes, can I just meet you at the movies? I don't have to go pick you up. Did she say grow a pair or something like that? So he shows up there and it's up. He goes, that is my daughter. And you treat women with respect. He's like, yes, sir. And then he's just like,
don't play with them naked unless you're doing things.
He's scrubbing like real hard on that thing. He's just standing there. It's just like, okay, this is an awkward scene.
Yeah, he'll scrub for a few minutes and stop and he'll say something.
Yeah, I just love that show.
It's about respect.
So how many episodes of Friday Night Lights are left?
This is the 9th, I believe. So 10, 11, 12, 13, 4 episodes.
Wow. It's going strong. Hopefully, I have no idea what kind of ratings it'll get when it comes on NBC in January.
Did you see the preview for his Pete Berg's next project?
Well, actually, it's an old project. It's from, I can't remember what year it was, but it was a long time ago. It aired on ABC. And I think what he was saying, because Heather was telling me she watched that show. I forget what it's called. It's a miniseries.
Wonderland.
Aspen Extreme.
Wonderland, yeah. Oh, awesome movie. But yeah, Wonderland. It's already been made, but I think he was saying it's going to premiere on the 101, I guess.
Right.
Maybe
right.
He worked something like that. Because maybe ABC canceled it or something. I don't know. But it was like a miniseries.
Like it was like, yeah, like you said, it was a show that got made. That just
I don't know if I
could
watch it. It's about crazy people.
Yeah, really.
It looked really interesting.
Yeah, so. It did. It looked like it was shot just like Friday Night Lights before Friday Night Lights.
But. Well, I just hope that, like, with this whole thing that he's doing with the 101 recently is I hope if NBC doesn't renew Friday Night Lights that DirecTV says, hey, we'll take it.
We'll keep it going. Yeah. All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. Yeah, Bill, what?
I think she's about to pull something out of her pants.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right. Let's start off with our weekly Darwin Award winner, Thief.
Nice.
When you're going to rob someplace and it's snowing outside, is that a good idea? What do you think might happen?
If you're going to rob some place and it's snowing outside, you might get snowed in or slip?
No, or... Steven, do you have a guess?
I would guess you probably wreck the car trying to get away sliding in the snow.
Close, but no cigar.
Damn.
Joliet, Illinois police followed footprints. From where a pizza delivery man was robbed to a house on the same block and arrested four teens. Police said two teens waited on a porch for the pizza man and two others, one holding a bat, approached him. Chief Patrick Kerr said the pizza man turned over the pizzas, sodas, and $200. Police said an officer followed the tracks to the house and found two pizza boxes, the pizza man's debit card, and a baseball bat.
What the hell? I thought somebody was calling. Why is it ringing? Hello?
Somebody call.
I think
Hello.
So.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. I just tried to call a second ago, and I want to apologize. My phone went dead on me, so I had to plug it in. So I apologize. Hi, guys. My name is Jay Green, and I'm from the Colors of Cinema podcast. And I just want to let you guys know that I've downloaded your music show. I think it's fantastic. And we love watching cinema over at www.colorsofcinema.com. It's a film podcast. And when we talk about all things cinema and all things deep and all things very Kubrickian and whatnot, and, well, your show is fantastic, and we'd like to welcome you into the podcast community. We have a weekly show. We review movies. And
hey,
such,
we,
and,
dude, we've been in the podcast community, all right? For like 3 years.
You've been in the I've never heard of you before. Well, it's good to
I've never heard of you
people.
Either, dude.
Yeah. What are the colors of cinema?
Yeah, what does that mean? Is it some kind of gay movies? Is that what you're reviewing?
On at?
Homosexual? Is that what you are?
I just called to say good things. I just called to say good things about you guys, and I'm picking up a tone from you guys, and I don't quite understand.
I will never listen to your stupid show. Hey, play some PodSafe music, all right? Huh?
I was welcoming you to the podcast community.
I don't want
to
join your community. I'm not a homosexual.
What? Is that what you're saying about the Colors of Cinema podcast?
Yes. I'm saying you...
Maybe it's
blow-
just foreign films.
Yeah, what, you discuss color films. What about black and white movies?
No, the Colors of Cinema. You know, about cinema and different the depth of cinema and where it goes and where it can take you.
That sounds pretentious.
And the feeling that you get and going
the
back
feeling
you know,
that you
the
get.
History of filmmaking. Going back to the history of filmmaking in the beginning with Eisenstein and Melies and guys like
that. Hey,
this,
I got your
know,
Battleship Potemkin right here, buddy.
Does that have a Philip Glass?
I can tell that you guys just like crappy movies. You don't really like cinema.
Yeah, we like Roadhouse here, all right, buddy? You ever talk about Roadhouse in your stupid show?
What's Roadhouse?
Project X.
We're currently doing a 12-part series.
12 parts?
On the Woody Allen films.
Oh, my God.
We just watched September, and we'd like to welcome everybody to come over to our Woody Allen series that we're watching now. And, it's a fantastic. It's a hoot. It's a damn hoot because you know Woody Allen is a pretty damn talented genius.
It's a hoot.
And, he knows cinema. He understands
hoot
what cinema is and what cinema can be.
Right. Cinema can be incredible. Right. It's going to change your life.
Right. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen. Well,
hey, what's the website?
Again, welcome to the podcast community.
Stop talking about your community.
Fans.
It's just you, dude. All right.
Well,
what
I hope
community?
Some good fans and
who talks like that?
www.colorsofcinema.com anytime and download our bevy of shows. I think we've got about 11 shows now. We've been up and working.
11
for
shows.
Well, that's
awesome.
The 11 shows of the 12 Woody Allen shows.
Yeah.
Right. Next up is What's Up, Tiger Lily.
Separated into three parts. You know, that's how Woody Allen works in his films. His films are broken into three parts a piece.
Yeah.
Well, 7-minute
like
segments.
Care.
Yeah.
So we're imitating that because
that's incredibly interesting. Wow.
So it's like, kind of like his life is separated into three parts. Like you have his
cinematic
and
that is cinema.
Hey, have you ever seen the Woody Allen film Homo Says What?
Homo says what?
It's so stupid.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
So, Colors of Cinema podcast, right?
And yes. Check it out.
No.
And
I don't want to check it out.
We hope that your new show is successful.
What new show, dude?
Good luck nowhere in Mayberry.
Oh, you've done it now, asshole. Nowhere in Mulberry, cockknocker.
Again, I'm picking up that tone here. It doesn't reflect the kind of thing that we're about over the Colors of Cinema.
Opinion.
Okay, do you talk about Heroes on your show? Because Heroes is a great show, okay? If you do a cinema, Colors of whatever your
colors
show is.
Colors of Television.
Yeah, on Heroes, I'll listen, okay?
Oh, I don't watch television, gentlemen.
Oh, excuse me.
Television? Are you kidding me? Television?
He doesn't own a television.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't watch the boob tube, gentlemen. I'm afraid not.
The boob tube?
He just has a projector.
Dude, what era are you from?
I watch prints. Yeah, I watch color and black
like
and white
Prince.
Negative prints.
Purple Rain?
But I, yeah.
No, Prince.
P-R-P-S, gentlemen.
Oh, you like you screen movies in your home? You've got a projector?
Yeah, he's a friend of Harry Knowles.
Well, I've created a film society here in Greater Boston. And what we do is... Well, we have a group of filmmakers come together, and we talk about cinema.
And you
we,
circle jerk, right?
Well, not quite, but we circle jerk cinema, if you will.
You circle jerk
cinema.
Hey, that would be a better name for your podcast.
Circle jerk on the print and then try to play it.
Oh, circle jerk podcast. I like that. You should change your name to that. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm picking that tone up again here, guys. I'm going to go ahead and cut it down and,
best
of luck to you with your new endeavors. And
no one talks
luck,
like that.
Godspeed. All right. Goodbye.
Bye. Wow. Well, that's great. All right, Bill. Let's carry on with the news there. Colors of Cinema.
Burning 10 minutes. All right. A man in New Mexico was jailed after being accused of turning the gas on at his estranged wife's house in Santa Fe.
Uh-oh.
David Dean Gallegos, 43. Gallegos. I like Legos.
Galapagos.
Hasta la luego.
Everybody get back. We got a gas leak. No!
Oh.
Exactly.
Gas leak.
He was charged with aggravated stalking, residential burglary, possession of a controlled substance, and resisting arrest and criminal damage to property. According to a statement of probable cause, Gallegos' estranged wife returned to her home on, doesn't matter where it is, to find it filled with gas shortly after receiving a threatening text from Gallegos. After the propane was turned off at the meter and the gas was cleared out of the home, his wife found three of the four top burners on the stove had been turned on but not lit. Also, someone had stuck two fingers into each of the four pies she left on the counter.
Oh, what a jerk to top
Jeez.
It off.
How dare he stick his fingers in her pies?
Hopefully those were finger holes.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah,
he's a pirate. According to the statement, the woman said she and Gallegos have been living separately for 11 months. She had recently become pregnant from someone other than her husband. Gallegos had tried to get her medical records to find out if she was pregnant or not. He's very upset with her right now. So why not go to the home, try to kill her by turning the gas on? I guess he didn't leave, like, a flame to ignite it.
I'm going
to
ruin her pies while I'm at it.
There's pies. I'm going to stick my fingers in her pies.
Take that, you damn homewrecker.
Damn pies.
Didn't have the dark man device, the little bird to dip down. Yeah.
That would have been awesome on the lighter.
That's just so I'm going to turn her gas on and screw her pies up.
Yeah.
That'll teach her. All right, moving on. Entertainment-wise, the year before last, Dancing with the Stars had a deaf woman, Marlee Matlin, on. And it was pretty much a train wreck to see her stumble around not being able to hear the music.
What?
Well, nice. Well, now, who do we find is in talks to join Dancing with the Stars? They're kind of going for the next handicap, and that's blindness. Why not have Stevie Wonder on?
What? He'll be tripping over furniture and stuff.
Stevie Wonder, 58, is said to be in a dialogue with the producers of Dancing with the Stars to join next season.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wait, they already had the lady, the McCartney lady, who was missing a leg.
She's missing a leg, yeah.
They went for the elderly this year.
Don't people know that they're... Yeah, no kidding, Cloris Leachman. So now they're doing a shtick every season, basically.
Marlee Matlin.
I should try and get my dad to be famous so he can go on with the wheelchair and spin around.
You know what? It sounds like they're doing a gimmick. It doesn't sound like they...
It does. That's exactly what the show is now. It's a gimmick.
Yeah. Wow.
It's pretty sad, actually.
Cloris Leachman was so annoying. Wow.
Oh, my God. I couldn't watch the show until she was gone. I refused to.
My dad
would get angry with me because normally I would watch it with him, and he hates watching TV alone. And he's like, I can't watch this alone. I was like, well, you are, because I'm not watching it with Cloris Leachman.
Yeah,
she's off. I'll watch it with you again, Dad.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I just did not want to watch it. All right. Florida, after drinking at a bar with a friend, a Bradenton man wanted to bring home toys for his two children.
Oh, well, that's nice of him.
Yeah. Why not get boozed up and then bring home some toys? So Jason Prince said he stopped at a preschool playground on State Road 64, loaded up his SUV with a seesaw, an easel desk, and frisbees and tennis balls.
Nice.
Hey, you know, if they're just out there, it's
free game.
It's free. Yeah. What kid doesn't want a preschool seesaw? Prince, 27, was arrested Thursday after an anonymous caller told authorities the stolen toys were in his backyard. Authorities say Prince, on his way home from drinking with a friend around 1:30 p.m., I hope they mean 1:30 a.m., because if he's drinking at 1:30 in the afternoon, there's something seriously wrong. He stopped at Sunny Days Preschool and jumped the fence, tried to lift the playground equipment that was bolted to the ground. Then he broke a locked toy chest open and pried the seesaw from the ground and threw the items over the fence, loaded his vehicle, and took them home.
Nice. What a great guy.
You're a cheat and a swindler.
He's a monster.
Yeah, he is.
You're an inhuman monster.
Nice.
A Central Illinois high schooler faces battery charges after allegedly poking students in the ass with a pin in the school's halls.
Trash hole, bitch.
The student at Normal... Oh, yeah. This is a name for a school. A kid like Normal Community West High School.
I'm from the normal community.
He's charged with aggravated battery and has been released to his parents. He's not been named because he's a juvenile. Police Chief Kent Crutcher tells the paper that one or two of the students may also face charges. It's not clear how many students were injured in the incident. Injured? He poked them in the ass with a pin.
Wow. I think that might happen to me in school. You know, I remember actually in middle school, you weren't supposed to talk in metal shop. The teacher, this old man who taught metal shop, he clamped pliers on my ass. I remember he pinched my ass with these pliers. I guess
you had a bad blood blister or something there?
Yeah, I looked later at home and I had a blood blister on my ass. But I remember that happening. And now when you think about it as an adult, it's like, I could have gotten that guy fired, couldn't I?
Could have sued
you know,
school.
It's the how our society has become even more litigious. Back then it was just...
like, what an asshole.
A prick teacher, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's, well, let's sue the son of a bitch.
Yeah, I remember just being like, holy shit, that hurt or whatever. And I was afraid I was going to get in trouble, so I just shut up, you know, stopped talking.
Yeah.
I was an idiot, so what do you know?
I've had stuff like that happen to me before. I don't know if I ever told the story, but I was, God, I think I was in third grade, and I was at my school, and it was art class with Mr. Shamrock.
Yikes.
And what did we have to do? We were doing something that required a... what the hell are those things called with a compass, you know, the pin on one end and then the pencil on the other.
Oh, right. A compass.
And, we were using those for something. And, I was goofing around with one of my friends and I grabbed it and I made like a stabbing motion at him. Like, like I just watched Psycho or something, you know, I was like 3 feet away from him.
And you were just goofing off. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just goofing off. He grabs me by the arm and throws me in the art closet where he keeps all the supplies. And he goes in there and he turns off all the lights and starts screaming at me going, "This is what it would be like if somebody stabbed you in the eye. Do you want to see darkness for the rest of your life?"
Oh, my God.
I'm in third grade, so I'm like 7 years old. And then he made me stay in the closet for like 10 minutes in the dark. And then he let me out. And I was allowed to continue with art class. When I got home, I told my dad about it. And my dad goes, "Well, don't let it get you down because, you know, he probably, you know, picked on you. Because when I was in high school, the guy was a real asshole and we flushed his head in the toilet a bunch of times. So he's probably picking on you because I picked on him in high school."
And that was it? He wasn't
upset that he locked
you in a room?
Yeah, he locked me in a room and yelled at me for making a stabbing motion.
Wow.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
You know, something similar to me happened later on in metal shop again. Don't take shop unless you have to.
Yeah, it seems like all the teachers that are like wood shop, metal shop, art class, they're all like reject freaking idiots.
Yeah, I jokingly grabbed an awl, or, you know, it looks like an ice pick, and just kind of went like this. I didn't even gesture it towards anybody, but it's just kind of like shing kind of a thing. And I heard the guy go, "Hey!" And he comes over and he grabs me. He goes, "You take this boy to the principal's office. I want him to get 5 pops. You could have caused an accident. You could have hurt somebody." And I was like, holy shit. What the hell's going on? It's just like everything's spinning out of control. And I went there and, you know, talked to the principal. And I think it was the vice principal. And, you know, he talked about how dangerous it was. You could have killed somebody. And all it takes is one mistake. Basically, you know, browbeat me for a long time.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, he said that I've never seen you in here before. You've never been in any kind of trouble. I'm going to go ahead and let you go with a warning. But it was just like the longest, probably like 30 minutes, but it was the longest 30 minutes of my life, you know.
Did he leave you in a dark room for 10 minutes?
No, he didn't.
I'd rather had the 5 pops and been over with him, gone back.
Yeah, just to get. But he was like, "Give this boy 5 pops. And I was like, "What? Where did he pull that number out of? Holy crap." You know.
"Get down and give me 20.
Yeah, after the second one, it doesn't matter how many you.
But
do they
have corporal punishment anymore?
I don't think so.
No, they would never be able to do that anymore.
Yeah,
and I'd you know, for tardiness and stuff, you know, you'd get a pop, you know, and and it's like, okay, you can have after school suspension for 30 minutes or a pop. Light me up.
Yeah, I remember that was a thing in your classrooms. The teacher had their paddle like hanging up on the wall.
Yep.
You know, so you knew you were going to get, you know, a pop or a lick. Some schools call it a lick.
I got spanked for me.
Spanked. Yeah, we call it pops or licks. And I'm trying to think if I ever got one. I don't think I ever did in school.
I got mine from the closest I ever came.
I always got mine from the vice principal.
Yeah, that was the closest I ever came. And I was like, well,
Vice principal was always the one that did it. The principal never got their hands dirty.
The vice principal was kind of like, he was like the principal's like thug.
Yeah.
the enforcer.
Yeah, he's the enforcer. It's a guy from the mob. All right, Bill, what else we got?
All right, moving on from our traumatic stories from childhood.
I'm still scarred, man.
So am I. I can't be in a dark room now without hearing Mr. Shamrock yell at me.
Mr. Shamrock.
This guy was such a fucking asshole.
God, you're telling me.
All right. In the UK, a man of 59 years was hit with the order after loitering at school gates and tagging along behind pupils.
What?
A court heard how
he
the cross-dresser
like
would... Oh, my God. He would dress in a Britney Spears-style schoolgirl outfit.
Oh.
59-year-old man.
Oh,
okay.
That's definitely a power-down moment.
Yeah. Court heard how the cross-dresser would hang around in a white blouse, gray skirt, burgundy tie, and gray ankle socks, and a blue cap.
He sounded really nice. Really dressed up.
You're an inhuman monster!
He would walk after children, tugging at their sleeves, showing his bare thighs, and indicating he had nothing on underneath.
Oh, my God.
Please don't have it. Please don't have it.
He did.
Council chiefs in Northampton took trigger to court after complaints from frightened and concerned parents about his antics outside the town's Woodvale primary. The court imposed a 5-year banning from him from wearing clothes which may cause alarm, distressing, or harassment.
Wow.
No.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine how traumatic that would have to be for a kid?
Jesus. Yeah. Wow.
It was much more than stupidity.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're almost to the top of the hour, so let's move on to DVDs.
Oh, you ready to do some DVDs?
Yeah.
Let's do it! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs!
Whee! Woohoo!
Oh. Power down.
I love that sound. That's great.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
You all right. Your pretty hot stuff.
Yeah, you know it, Reed.
Reed.
DVDs for Tuesday, December 16th, 2008.
Oh, nice. I still haven't gotten Super Troopers yet. That's a Christmas
gift. I need to pick it up. But Amazon is doing a really great special right now on Blu-rays. Buy two, get one free. And there are some pretty good Blu-rays up there for $20. I got 2001.
A Space Odyssey?
Yeah, Space Odyssey.
It looks gorgeous.
Oh, I cannot wait to watch it. It's
I watched it on HD DVD, and I was stunned by how great it looks. Stunned, I tell you.
What else did I get? I can't even remember what else I got, but they've got like 60 Blu-rays up that you can pick up for $20 a piece. You get you get two, you get one free, so $40 for three. I got I got Cool Hand Luke, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and I finally picked up National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Sweet! Oh, man, I want to see how Cool Hand Luke looks. That's awesome. You know, that's the coolest thing. That's the coolest thing, HD, DVD, and Blu-ray. You know, the old movies are so awesome to watch them in HD, you know?
You know what blew me away was I never really thought that hand-drawn animation would look great in high definition. But I picked up Sleeping Beauty mainly for my niece.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it looks unbelievable. One of the most beautiful pictures I've seen in HD, this classic hand-drawn animation.
And it does it look pristine? Like, you don't see the lines?
It's beyond pristine. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
And, again, they've discounted a lot of these buy two, get one free DVDs. So I think I paid like $18.99 for Cool Hand Luke and National Lampoon's, and I think 2001 A Space Odyssey is $18. It's $17.99.
Perfect.
So the prices are really, really good right now for Blu-rays.
Crazy, insane sex.
Well.
Is that good? Wow, okay.
Yes. Well, yeah. All right. I don't know why they're doing this, but they're repackaging and re-releasing the A-Team season sets. So season one is coming out again here, and I'm actually going to pick it up. I doing all the ads this week, I was trying to think of stuff that I really remembered a lot from kids, from my Christmas as a kid. In A-Team, one year I got this A-Team toy set, which was all the action figures and their accessories, like the van and all that.
Nice.
And I was looking for the commercial for it, but I couldn't find it.
You know, I think that A-Team has episodes, I may be wrong, but I was just like, my memory is that they have them on Hulu.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. I'm going to have to just chill out and watch those.
I want to see the A-Team on Blu-ray. Awesome.
I don't know about that.
You know, I was telling Andy and I were talking about how they put on HD DVD, they had the Star Trek Season 1, the original series on HD DVD, and it came with like a phaser remote control. But,
yeah,
you know,
it was very cool.
Very cool, but now they have it on, no, not Blu-ray. But now I noticed that they also have it on Netflix streaming in HD, and I want to check it out because I just, you know, I know it's going to be full screen. It's not going to be widescreen, I assume.
No, yeah, it's full screen.
But it should look incredible, right? Because it was shot on film.
Are those the ones that they redid? They actually redid the effects and everything?
Oh, that I don't know. I assume if you're going to release it in high def, I would hope they would release that version, but I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Moving on, my next favorite DVD of this release week is Aqua Teen Hunger Force Volume 6. It's one of my all-time favorite Adult Swim shows. It's so incredibly ridiculous and funny. I recommend it to anybody that likes stupid comedy. Join Master Shake, Meatwad, and Frylock. I know. It's so stupid. So incredibly stupid, but absolutely hilarious.
Nice.
And next, The Fattest Loser, Weight Loss Yoga.
What?
I'm listening to the clip show that one of our fans put together.
Oh, yeah. I got to mention that real quick.
Is that Freight Knot that did that?
It's kind of a work in progress, but Freight Knot, one of our listeners, sent a clip show that he's working on of clips from the show. And I listened to it. Bill and I listened to it. It's hilarious. And
yeah, it really is.
And he's gonna. I told him to keep working on it. He's doing a great job. I thought. I was laughing my ass off. And I don't have the inspiration to put together a clip show. So it's awesome to hear somebody who finds our show funny use their talent at editing and stuff and put this thing together. And it just was ingenious. It's stuff I could never think of. Honestly,
yeah, it's really great. I was the moment it started. I was like, oh, this is gonna be good because he took your words and then redid them so that it's that line from Hackers.
Or Sneakers.
Hackers, I'm sorry, Sneakers.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's so awesome.
You knew you were in store for something awesome after that. But hey, Freight Knot, thank you so much. And I can't wait to hear what else you got. And what I was saying that if he, you know, I'm not going to demand anything from the guy. He's doing it in his free time. But if he gets stuff done in time, maybe we can release that while we're on our three-week hiatus. So we'll see. Maybe something will show up on the feed. And if you see it there, listener, you'll know it's an awesome clip show. I'm telling you right now that I just think it's awesome. I was kind
What's
of like,
great
my
about
jaw
it
dropped.
Is that you have a fan that truly appreciates the show. And it's so much better whenever a fan does something like this because they remember things that we would never remember. Like, I completely forgot about the biker story that we did.
Yeah.
and that thing had me in tears listening back to it.
That would have won us that Howard Stern contest, that clip there. And I forgot all about it.
The whole reason I'm bringing up the Biggest Loser DVD is because at one point in the show you called the Biggest Loser the Fattest Loser, and that just cracked me. All right, moving on. A Biography, one of my all-time favorite shows and channels with A&E, is releasing a ton of Biography DVDs. And the ones that really piqued my interest was one about Federico Fellini, which I've seen before and was really, really good.
They talk about that on that Colors of Cinema podcast.
Yeah, you know, they do.
No. Not allowed to do that.
Oh.
Moving on, Burn After Reading, the movie that
the Coen Brothers.
Not your typical Coen Brothers.
You know, I've heard that it's really funny from some people, so I'm definitely, it's a rental. It's worth Netflixing to check it out because I do love the Coen Brothers. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. What do you
say? I'm going to throw it on Netflix. It's available on Blu-ray, so that's definitely going to go on there.
Available on Blu-ray. Will work on PS3s. I like how they say that on commercials.
PS3
compatible.
Sticker. That stickers on every Blu-ray I buy.
Because basically what it's saying is, hey, moron, you know that PS3 you have? This will work on that.
Guess what? They're both Sony products.
It's like, yeah, okay, thanks. We know it plays Blu-rays, okay?
Oh, by the way, I did watch it. I mentioned it. Saturday, there was a Saturday... There's going to be – I saw the preview for it. There's going to be a movie with Stephen Baldwin on sci-fi called Sharks in Venice.
Yes.
I've seen the commercials.
Oh, my God.
Sharks, great white sharks are loose in Venice. Wow.
I think
Italians taste great.
Italians taste great.
That's Italian.
Yeah, that was great. It said Italian food tastes great. Sharks know it. Italians taste great.
Oh, my God.
So funny. I cannot wait to watch it. Speaking of, there's a sci-fi original coming out on DVD this week called Dark Light with Shiri Appleby.
Ooh.
Who was in that...
she was on the TV show Roswell.
Roswell, yeah. But the cover cracks me up. It's the city at night, big moon, shining... real bright down on her. What is she doing? She is bent over, total cleavage shot, straight down her shirt.
And what is
it? You can hardly even see her face. All you see is her cleavage.
Nice. Okay.
That's a way to sell DVDs.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm going to buy this. I have no idea what it's about.
Next DVD is the Paul W.S. Anderson epic Death Race.
Ah, yeah. I wonder Jason Statham more remorseful over that or Dungeon Siege or whatever the hell.
I don't think the guy has any remorse.
No,
he just does stuff. He gets a paycheck and then he goes home and screws beautiful women.
Just remember this, guys, that I can't think of the actress that's in this. What's her name?
Joan Allen.
Just remember that Joan Allen invented Death Race. That's right.
Yes, she did. And Tyrese is real good at it too, I
hear. Oh, he's a great actor. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kill them! Kill them all!
Yeah, exactly, Johnny Reed.
The only reason I want to see this is because it has Ian McShane in it.
Yeah. Ian McShane was so good in Deadwood, and so far he's made nothing but crap-ass movies.
Yeah, well, you know what? All these crap-ass directors seen Deadwood and go, man, that
he's
guy's awesome.
He's great. I'm going to cast him in my piece of shit movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to be shitting me.
No, I'm not.
We mentioned it earlier, Generation Kill. It's actually hitting DVD this week.
It's a great, great, great series. I mean, it's great.
I watched it all like 2 or 3 weeks ago because I've had it on my my DVR forever. And it really is a terrific, terrific series. I'm keeping it on my DVR because until the HD comes out because I think I'll pick it up.
I was sad when it ended. I was like, no, this is it? It's over? No! Yeah. I wanted to keep going. And you know what's funny is the guy, the main character on the show, is Eric, the vampire from True Blood. So when I when I watched True Blood and they first introduced Eric, I kind of laughed because it was the guy from Generation Kill, which I'd already seen. I was like, it's the dude from Generation Kill? He's not a vampire. What? And he really grew on me in that role on True Blood. So he's...
Yeah,
I've gotten over that laugh.
I can't wait till they get deeper into his storyline because from what I've read on Wikipedia, it gets pretty good with Eric.
Oh, I bet. I can't wait.
So, and that's one thing I'm really looking forward to.
Hey, you're not supposed to read Wikipedia on that.
I know.
Spoiler alert.
But you kept reading the books, and I didn't read any spoilers. I didn't read any spoilers at all.
Yeah, I read the first two books.
That he gets more involved in the storyline later on.
Yeah, I've read the first two books.
I put it on my Christmas wish list. I hope somebody in my family bought it for me, the Sookie Stackhouse collection of all those books.
No. Not allowed to do that.
All right, next DVD is Hamlet 2, the Steve Coogan movie.
I wanted to see this. It looks
Rock
funny.
Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
Yes, I want to see it. It's got lightsabers, too, in it, I believe.
It's got Catherine Keener in it, who I never understood why Dermot was it. What the hell is his last name? How's it said?
Dermot Mulroney.
Mulroney. I never understood why or how he married that woman, because she's just so unattractive.
I've always liked her. I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah, like Johnny Suede, the first thing I remember seeing her in. And I just liked her.
There's just something so, like,
I don't know.
Lunch lady about her to me.
She does something for me. I don't know.
Crazy, insane.
I liked her in Johnny Suede.
Yeah, I like Johnny Suede. That's a interesting movie. Funny movie.
It is. But Catherine Keener, Elizabeth Shue is herself, I believe.
She plays herself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does look funny. I have a weird infatuation with Anna Faris.
Anna Faris.
No matter what horrible movie she does, I have to see it just because I like her. So this week, it's The House Bunny.
She looks cute in that. She does.
Does look cute, and it's on DVD and Blu-ray. And from what I understand, there's a pretty nice ass shot of her in it.
So in your opinion.
I'm going to enjoy that. But on DVD and Blu-ray, I guess she's kicked out of the Playboy Mansion, becomes a house mom for a bunch of losers, and of course, at some point, she makes them all over, and they turn into hot chicks.
Yeah, it's funny. I love in movies where they have hot chicks, but they're nerds. They got the glasses.
They nerd them all.
Their hair's in their face. But then they got to do the makeover scene where it's like, whoa, they're slamming gorgeous hot chicks. I laugh at the scene where she does the she stands over the manhole with the steam to do the Marilyn Monroe thing, and it like
burns.
It goes.
Oh yeah,
she's like, oh my god, that's hot. Yeah, it burns her. I fell for that. That looks funny.
Yeah, she's a funny girl and very attractive. The best now, I have a really screwed up sleeping schedule. I mean, it is beyond screwed up. I mainly am up all night. I'm like a vampire, but I don't drink blood. And one of the shows that I watch at night is coming out on DVD, Ice Road Truckers, complete season 2. I have seen every episode of this show at least 3 times.
Wow.
It's, I'm telling you, man,
has anyone
not
fallen through
show,
the ice yet? Or,
but it's, it, what'd you say?
Has anyone fallen through the ice ever on the show?
No, nobody's fallen through the ice, but there has been stories of people that have fallen through the ice.
Wow.
It's just, it's really about these guys that are just,
they started with the, what's the one crab show? King Crab.
Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch. Then they have Ice Road Truckers. Then they had the Lumberjack Show or whatever it's called.
Which just really sucks.
And now they have the Whaling Show.
Wars is good.
Yeah,
I like Whale Wars.
I've heard
That's
it's really
on
good.
Animal Planet.
They're trying to keep the whalers from getting to the whales, basically. And they put themselves in harm's way.
It's actually what the Japanese are doing are illegal. They're in Antarctic waters whaling.
Right.
And I guess it's illegal, but the government's turned blind eyes to it. And they go out there and make their lives a living hell.
Right. I saw that.
They're all insane, but it's a great show.
They love the whales. And, yeah, they put themselves in harm's way, and it looks interesting. I'll check it out, definitely. But
Ice Road Truckers, again, this is it's all about the guys. It's really a character-driven show. It's not about what they do, but who they are.
The sperm whale will save the world in the future.
That's right. Or was it the humpback?
Humpback whale.
No, I think it was the sperm whale.
No, it's the humpback whales.
Was it?
Yeah.
Or was it the blue whale?
No, humpback. Trust me, I've seen that Star Trek way too many times. I love when he goes, well, double dumbass on you. Remember that? Love it.
All right. And I think I might have to get these for my dad, who's obsessed with Lisa Rinna despite her blown out.
Her gigantic lips.
She's doing Dance Body Beautiful Ballroom Learn and Burn.
What?
Yeah, there you go. So you can see her gyrate around with gay people.
Okay, what does she do again?
Now that she's done Dancing with the Stars, she thinks she's like some sort of like Jane Fonda when it comes to that.
What is the show called again?
It's called Dance. There's two of them. It's Dance Body Beautiful is what it's called. And it's her in skimpy outfits doing exercises.
Dancing exercises.
Yeah. Right. And she is, I mean, she's very in shape, I guess you could
say.
She's
got a kick-ass body. It's just her grill is messed up.
Grill? And she's married to Perseus.
Yeah, she is. What would Perseus do?
Apparently he'd marry Lisa Rinna.
With her big ass lips.
With her... what kind of internet does she have?
DSL.
Wow.
Wow. See how I tricked Steven into doing the bad joke? Not me?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to keep it at arm's length.
You're an inhuman monster!
I'm sorry!
All right, moving on. Louis C.K., one of my favorite comedians, is releasing his special Chewed Up on DVD. I think the guy's hilarious. Yeah, he's a great writer, a great comedian. Mamma Mia. Here I Go Again. My, how can I forget you? The ABBA musical on DVD with a bunch of British men and singing. And, yeah.
Steven, how much would it take to get you to watch that?
$2.
That gets you to see it?
No.
How about $5 and a bag of corn nuts?
No.
Okay, no. $5, a bag of corn nuts, and...
Or die. How's that?
Or die.
Cake
or death.
Throw in a couple of Dr. Peppers, and you probably have a deal.
Hey, at least it's gorgeously shot, right? And watch it on Blu-ray?
Can I pierce my eardrums before watching it?
Yes.
Would you rather go through that much pain instead of watching it?
You'd have
it?
To hear... instead of watching it? Come on, Meryl Streep's got a great set of pipes there. Yeah?
And by pipes, you mean her voice, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's about it.
What else? What would I mean other than that?
Never mind. Moving on.
Sex.
What?
The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
Nice. CGI in all of its glory. And I've seen the reviews of the Blu-rays. It's gotten 5 stars. So it might be a bad movie, but it looks fantastic. If you want to see that liquid 3D effect, rent this Bad Mummy movie.
That's my favorite thing in the world. I watched WALL-E this week, and there are moments in that movie that it's just like you can touch the screen. It's so crystal clear and vivid and 3D like.
It's what they call when, say, this is my new reference material. When you have somebody over at your house, like even the holiday, say you have family over, you go, hey, guys, check this out. And they're like, ooh, it's like, we got to get this.
Yeah, it's like that when Planet Earth came out on high def, and there's moments where there's shots of like mountains and stuff, and it uh-huh. literally looks three-dimensional. That's what's so...
Masente!
Yes. No. You know, that actually means it's hot as hell.
Class A, moron.
Yes, thank you. All right, moving on. Resident Evil Degeneration.
Ooh. This is the computer animated zombie movie.
Yes. The first ever CGI Resident Evil full-length feature film. It's a zombie attack brings chaos to Harvardville Airport. Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield, former Special Forces members of the Raccoon City tragedy 7 years ago, battle a rogue warrior who is seeking revenge against Will Pharma and the bioweapons industry after his family was killed in Raccoon City. The deadly G-virus is unleashed and new mutated monster goes on the attack. It's on DVD and Blu-ray.
Nice. Remember, Bill and I, you and I were watching some of the movie online, IGN or something like that, where they let you view the first like 10 minutes or something. And I mean, the animation is cool. Is this coming out on Blu-ray? I'll definitely rent it.
Yes, it is. Blu-ray, yeah.
That's a rental right there, baby.
Definitely is.
We love the zombies. We'll definitely check it out.
Yes, and if you love zombies, check out the NIMH Holiday Package. 3-video vidcast of us playing Left 4 Dead.
That's right. And there's an audio version if you don't want to watch it.
Yes.
And I got to say that listening to it with all the mayhem and stuff as we're talking is hilarious because you hear
it is
all
fun.
The sound effects and stuff. It's a lot of fun. Watch it at night when you're laying in bed. It'll scare the crap out of you. And in fact, I think we ought to do this again, but we're in character in the game the whole time. if we're going
to
do that.
I think the plan is we need to do all four levels.
Oh, definitely.
We'll do Dead Air next.
And then what we ought to do is just cut it into the, like, we'd say the best moments, you know, all the cool moments.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
A best
all right,
of
next
kind
DVD
of
is Traitor with Don Cheadle.
That's
I've wanted
son of
to
a...
see this.
Yeah, I did too. I heard that it was, well, I mean, what I thought from the trailer, you're like, oh man, this is like the Bourne Identity, but with Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
But I heard the same thing about it as I did the Day of the Earth Stood Still, and that it's...
Oh, really?
But you know what? We form our own opinion, so we'll check it out ourselves. Right, Bill?
Yes.
We don't care what Gene Shalit has to say about it.
I always listen to Gene Shalit. Last, but certainly not least, the last DVD, the DVD that never needed to be released... And I will never watch for fear of actually putting a gun to my head and pulling the trigger.
I thought that was Mama
The
Mia.
Women.
The Women.
Yes, it's a movie that came out last year with Meg Ryan, Bette Midler, Debbie Mazar, Cloris Leachman, Ava Mendez, Candice Bergen, Carrie Fisher, Deborah Messing, Annette Bening, and Jada Pinkett Smith. That is a cast of death. I would never want to see a movie with all those women in it at once.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine how god-awful that movie is. That's the sound of my penis falling.
Wow, definitely won't check that out.
Get this storyline. It is so desperately Sex in the City wannabe. New York City's modern world fashion and publishing, Mary Haynes, seems to have it all until she finds out that her husband is cheating on her with the perfume girl from Saks Fifth Avenue. Now all hell breaks loose as Mary contemplates the fate of her marriage and her circle of tight-knit friends question their own friendships and relationships. It shouldn't be called The Women. It should be called The Yentas.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
And that is DVD.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
You know what, though?
Thank you.
I do want to bring something up first. this coming Tuesday is the first Tuesday that Criterion are releasing their Blu-rays, and they're releasing Bottle Rocket, Chungking Express, and God, there's another one, The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Oh, okay.
And I think and The Third Man. Which I never picked up on DVD, and I'm definitely picking up
so
on Criterion
cool.
Blu-ray.
The Colors of Cinema podcast is going to love that. They're going to eat that up.
Oh, and Planet Terror and Death Proof are coming out extended and unrated on Blu-ray.
I saw that. They waited long enough to release those.
You know what I'm waiting for? I am not going to buy them until I get a full HD version of Grindhouse. Not two separate movies.
Uh-huh.
The movies together, how they're supposed to be.
Yeah, why aren't they?
I do not like this splitting them up thing. When I saw that, the experience of it was what I loved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't.
It probably has to do with how it was such a bomb. Maybe they're like, oh, they need to be separate. I know what it is. You have to buy both of them. It's more sales that way.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? I blame the Weinsteins or whoever did the...
You're a cheat and a swindler.
Yeah. It was the Weinsteins, right, that handled it?
Yes, sir.
I blame them. This was not a big thing. This should have stayed in, like, independent theaters. They threw way too much money behind it.
Remember they did... They released it on, what? Was it Easter weekend?
Yeah.
When your grandmother's over?
Fail.
Grandma, you want to go see Planet Terror? You want to go see the new Robert Rodriguez? What the hell is that?
And nobody, typical people aren't going to understand the whole idea of Grindhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very limited
niche. It's a marketing disaster, you could say.
Yeah. But that's it. That's all I wanted to bring up.
In your opinion.
Yes, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
All right, everyone. That was episode 147 of Nowhere in Bulberry. Remember that you can listen to us live at 9, 8 Central every Friday, except for the next 3 weeks, at nimchat.com. We'll always be there. We'll always be here for you to talk about film, television, and pop culture and all sorts of crazy stuff we talk about because that's what we love doing. If you'd
when
like
you want
to,
us, we'll be there.
Right. We'll be there. I'll be there. Sorry. Call 1-206-202-3491 if you'd like to leave a voicemail or maybe a hate voicemail for the guy at Colors of Cinema podcast. Or you could also send an email at dimpodcast@gmail.com.
And the voicemail for that. The other guy that called in before the voice of the Colors of Cinema. Whatever the hell I was. God, those are terrible.
All right. Well, also, remember, the holiday package it has been released. Go to nowheremulberry.com. You'll find all the information there. All you do is you donate, and you get access to all these great shows we put together for you. Remember, the lunchtime show, the lost episode. What does Nowhere in Mulberry mean? Find out.
I need to find out what it means.
Right. Steven even wants to know.
Steven does it and has no idea what it
is. 24, Redemption. Jack Bauer saves the children. Help him save the children. Listen
he
to
saves
that shit.
Africa and the children.
He cures everything. Cures every disease and all that. And he kills all the bad
guys.
And
some African child kills Bigby.
And also, that's not
my
it.
My scarf.
Nowhere in Mulberry loves and appreciates film music. The Score, it's called. It's all about film music and composers and all that stuff. It's
Harry
my dad.
Wallstrom has The Score.
That's right. My dad and Andy talking about film music. I'm on there too. I'm kind of like the layman, the guy trying to keep up on there. But check that out. I hope you like it.
You know what? Don't discredit yourself too much because that last 30 minutes when your dad had to go out the door, that was pretty damn good because you guys got into some stuff that you otherwise wouldn't have. Like you talked about the Metal Gear Solid score,
oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, stuff like that. And I think that was just as good. The entire show was really well done.
Why, thank you. And if anybody would want to listen to that, hopefully, check out the holiday package. Also, the Left 4 Dead video cast. You sit there and you watch him, and you have a good time watching us kill zombies and talk about everything, right? We cover a lot of stuff, I think. We just goof off.
Yeah, I get a lot of really great headshots in that, too, when the zombies are running at me and just bam, and their heads just explode into gibs.
There's this part, and of course it's me, who I see on the screen, my character, and I go, oh, look at this poor guy, and I go, bam, shoot his head off, and I go, oh, sorry.
Sorry, zombie.
Just getting a little cocky there with my zombie killing, but it's a lot of fun.
And then we get our asses beat by a tank repeatedly.
Yeah, and then see us, our confidence totally go out the door when we
I like when Bill got thrown off the roof. He's like,
yeah, I literally just get tossed off the roof.
I just get
That's
thrown
awesome.
Off the roof. All you can see is sky. And the
yeah, it's, I see the tank and then boom, where'd I go? Oh, I'm dead.
That's so awesome. It's a lot of fun. And I hope anyone who's already gotten it, let us know. We're going to be gone for 3 weeks. Email us. Send a voicemail. Write in the forum. Tell us what you think of the holiday package, if you think we should do more of this kind of stuff. Because it was a lot of hard work, but it was a lot of fun. And it'll all be worth it if I hear your feedback and you like the stuff, right?
Yeah, really. Please.
So, and we'll do something in the future, and Steven, we'll get you involved. We'll watch some bad movies, maybe watch The Women, and do a commentary.
No, not happening ever.
Yeah, not going to happen.
That could be another episode without me, like the one with your dad and Andy. I'll sit out, thanks.
Yeah, I was just joking. I don't want to watch that. It's not going to happen. All right, guys. Well, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. Yeah, Festivus for the rest of us. It's going to be 2009. We will get flying cars finally. It's the future, right? 2009. What year is it in Blade Runner? And when are we getting to that year where it's just like
past it?
What I think is funny is they've been showing Predator and Predator 2 on HBO, and I saw at the beginning of Predator 2. It says 1997. It's like, wow, remember when you saw this? And this was like, whoa, the future, 97.
I couldn't even, you know, I remember when I was a kid and I would sit in school and be like, I graduate in 1998. Man, that is so close to 2000. What's the world going to be like? Almost exactly the same.
Exactly. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed the show, and we'll see you when we get back. And keep an eye out for that clip show by Frayed Knot. Kudos to him. Hey, no pressure on you. He's like, oh, shit, I'm not even working on it. What is he talking about? No, I'm serious. Take your time. When it's ready, it's ready. If it is ready during our break, it is. If it's not, it's not. All right? So, Steven, anything to add? Any holiday wishes you want to give a shout-out about?
Yeah.
No?
Happy holidays.
Oh, Steven, what a Scrooge.
And no, I'm really excited because I'll have a real nice one because I'm buying myself a house.
Wow. So you're getting yourself something for Christmas.
Yes. Screw everyone else.
You're an inhuman monster.
And Bill, anything for you?
No, my sister, my youngest sister, Shaylin, she's about a year and 7 months older than me. Had her first child, a little boy, a few days ago, Xavier Joshua Sapochny. So I want to give
that
her
that name, that Xavier.
Xavier, yes.
Because I think of Professor Xavier.
Yeah, you know, I think what it was my uncle, Douglas, is a Jesuit priest.
Wow.
And Xavier is the patron saint of the Jesuits. So they wanted to pay honor to my Uncle Doug and named him Xavier. And he was actually born on the day they celebrate St. Xavier. So it kind of fit perfectly.
And you know what? He's going to have an awesome signature. All he has to do is do the X.
X.
Yep.
That's
yep.
so cool.
Yep. Well, and he's a cutie pie, and I can't wait to meet him.
Nice. That'll be cool. So you're going to have
that's
that
what's
nice
going to happen over your vacation there, Bill?
You know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to get to Seattle.
Over Seattle. Christmas break. Okay.
Yeah, she's in Seattle. I think I'm probably going to go up sometime in January with my sister Shannon, who has been on the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Shannon. That's old friend of Mulberry there.
Yes. But mad props to my sister Shay. I'm real proud of her. And Xavier is a cutie pie.
That's so cool.
Well, congrats there.
So, yeah, congrats to
you and your fam.
And Merry Christmas to everybody. And I can't wait to see my family over Christmas. And all that kind of stuff. And hope you all get lots of cool stuff. So, see you when we come back. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day, sir.
Casting.